Blessings of Life, and welcome to Astrophysics Class 8-3. This is the 8th month, the 3rd lesson. Today we're going to be talking about two different areas of consciousness. First, we're going to be talking about the 7 witness states of consciousness, and then we're going to be talking about food. I used to be a chef, and food was right up my alley. So I'll be talking about food on the path, and what we should eat and what we shouldn't eat when we are seeking to attain a higher state of consciousness. Food does have vibrations. But first of all, let's talk about the witness states of consciousness. The witness states are those states which are objective and deeper degrees of remote viewing, detached awareness, transcendent consciousness, viewing to the point of being. We start with the first step in objectivity at the heart. As we're moving up the chakras, we are seeking to have an understanding of each level of consciousness. When you are bound up in the first 3 levels, you cannot have understanding. These are action states. They are servant states. Your body serves you, the emotion serves you, and the mental body is to serve you. But you, the soul, that ensouls them and gives them power, this is the director of this personality. Now, as we talked about the director of personality, the director of personality is objectivity. When you can stay objective to your actions, your emotions, and your mind, you have better control over them. When you're subjective to them, you are flowing in them and flowing through them. Subjectivity is a spiritual attunement. Objectivity is a personality attunement. Too many times we get involved with our emotions and our bodies and our minds, and we're so involved with those that we forget about our creative power and our higher consciousness. We don't end up in the higher triad and the higher conscious levels. We keep being sent back down to correct something that's in our lower triad. So the heart center, instead of having objectivity, can also be sending understanding and patience and those kind of things to the personality. You need patience for your objectivity. You need to have your conscience clear for objectivity. Those people that do not have their conscience clear, they have trespassed against themselves or someone else, do not have a pure heart. They must free their heart from this bondage to have a clear eye of objectivity. Your heart should be a pure heart. It said, renew the pure heart in me, O my Lord, and renew the tranquil conscience within my soul, O my God. In the Psalms it tells us this. In some of the ancient prayers it tells us this. To have a pure heart, to stay clear in our heart, not to be bound up by the mind, emotions, or the body, but realize they are great servants, but they are terrible masters. Your body is a terrible master. It has no regard for anything but itself, survival. And the body elemental is for survival. But it cannot even move without the desire of your emotions or the will of your mind. The desires must be purified. The way to purify desire is to eliminate all but one desire and work on that one desire. Be one-pointed. Too many desires weaken the desire body, weaken the emotional body, weaken the subconscious mind, because it puts the energy moving into too many directions. You must be very economical with this energy, because the more you spread it out, the weaker you get until you have no control. You just have impulsive and compulsive actions to take. The willpower must be contained. You must have strong willpower. To have willpower, you must have confidence in yourself. You must love and respect yourself and see God in you. You must come from your heart in an understanding that you are God experiencing, that you are a child of that one in whom we all live and move and have our being. Flesh of the flesh, spirit of the spirit, that's what you are. Understand this power and its life, that you are from God. Keep this paramount in the heart. Then you'll be in the top part of the heart center. This is an uplifting, inspiring place to be. Sympathy is in the center of the heart, and this can take you either up or down. You can get in sympathetic vibrations with negative forces, illnesses, sicknesses, those kind of things, arguments, taking sides, judging, giving opinions, conclusions, assumptions, comparisons, and through this sympathetic way. Or you can go up with hope and with deeper understanding and with freedom of your creativity and freedom of the past. So know that you have a two-way movement in this heart. You must come through the eye of the needle, the center of the heart. You must have mastery of what you sympathize with, because whatever you sympathize with, you merge with. Merge with your greater qualities and merge with the qualities of the teachers that you love and respect. Merge with those superior qualities. As we move up now in the chakras, the next chakra is the brow chakra. Now, the brow chakra sees the five lower kingdoms. The heart chakra sees three lower kingdoms. And so this brow chakra is in a state of detachment. The master walks objectivity and detachment. That is the first step to having your mastery. Detachment, that you are not bound, you must realize you are an individual conscious manifestation of God. An individualized means indivisible. It cannot be divided up any smaller. You can't get any less. You're a total you, a total self. And you always have been your total self. You've never been part of yourself. You may have had part of yourself in your body, your emotions, and your mind, and not your whole self. But you have never lost any of the self that you are, the pure spiritual being you are, that God created, this true individuality. You must have a clear imagination and not pollute your imagination with objects of the senses, objects of sexuality, objects of the desires of your emotions, objects of the desires of your will, unless you wish that to come into manifestation instantly. You do not play with your imagination like it's a toy, but you consider it as a great value to bring you the things in life that you truly want to draw to you. Because with your imagination and holding the image, see, the law is you can have anything you want if you know exactly what you want. The image shows exactly what you want. So your images should be clear. To have partial images and release them is only partial success. Total success is to see clearly. So we want to see reality, the truth, the love and the wisdom of the world, not the other side. We keep our eye pure. We don't look into the darkness. We look into the light. In detachment, you are not reacting out of any of the five lower levels. You are serenely setting, calm and clear, and you are directing. You are directing your consciousness of your creativity. You're directing your understanding and knowledge. You're directing your mind, emotions, and body. You are the director of these levels of consciousness now. They fall under your dominion as an individual. As an individual, you respect all other individuals, and you are merging with supreme consciousness. You're merging with universal intelligence. You're tapping into that field. But you stand in the identity of separation, individuality. There is nothing less than I is a statement of detachment. The next step is going up into the crown area, where we must go to the world, but we have to renounce the world so we don't get bound up in it as well. The world can bind you up in locations. Stay with me here, stay with me there. Countries will bind you up. When you go out, don't relatives want you to stay? Oh, well, sometimes they do, okay? But in the renunciation of the world, that's okay too, isn't it? See, in renunciation, we're not swayed by pleasure or pain or negatives or positives. We're enjoying our life. We're living our life in the world as God has given us. And we're getting along and accepting all people. Then the key of objectivity is acceptance of everyone in your heart, but in the that you are aware of. And then in your crown, it's acceptance of everyone that you are not aware of as well. All the other human beings that have been here and have gone on and have still to come to this dimension of consciousness. You're seeing all of them as the humanity that has dominion over this earth, that we all as human beings have this dominion. It wasn't given to one person, it was given to the humanity, the whole human race. No matter what place you were born, you have dominion over the earth, the sea, and the sky. And with this dominion, you can survive and live here on this planet, and you can be an aid to the elemental forces in their growth as well. So you are helping others on other dimensions of consciousness, just as others are helping you. So in this area of renunciation, we no longer bound by the world consciousness, we're no longer bound by it, we live and move and flow through the world without letting it bother us. Now, I mean, you've seen enough news. Now, what does it do to you? It binds you. There's not much good news coming over the television. The good news, we must live it. We haven't seen today someone was saved, someone has been healed, someone has, marriage has come back together, someone has had a great success in one area or another. We don't hear that. What we hear is what went wrong. And the world is constantly giving us what went wrong and what could go wrong. Everybody's telling everybody, watch out for this and watch out for that, instead of accepting the grace of God and the power and the protection of God, the light of God manifesting in their lives, the light that lighteth every man and woman that cometh into this world, that light of God consciousness that protects us and lifts us and gives us the fullness of life, life more abundant. And we stand in the world in this ascendant state of consciousness. Now the next step is mastery. This is the liberated state. This is a witness state as well. See, the witness states are open states of consciousness. They're neither positive or negative. They have broken the boundaries of the paradox. They have seen the infinite reality and the oneness of God, and they live a wholeness in their life. Master of their world, master of their imaginations, master of creative power, master of your knowledge and psychic abilities, master of your intellect and thinking mind, master of your desires and emotions, master of your body and the senses and sexuality of that body. So you are the master of all these levels of consciousness. Wherever you are drawing the most attention, that's where you are bound until you reach this liberation of mastery, where you realize, I can do what I want to do, go where I want to go, be what I want to be in God's kingdom, walking here upon this earth. Now as we move from the body, we move to a stage called realization. Now, realization is a stage that is transference between the fires of mastery and the purity and perfection of Christ. This realization is to realize you are not master of anything, that God has given you the power, God does these things through you, and you're being lifted now as an individual in the spiritual sense of consciousness. It's like the Atma or spirit body or monad leaves the body. And it's leaving out through that crown chakra, it leaves out through the center, but there's a void there, there's a black tube, a void. Only through realization, holding that golden sphere of mastery, and then surrendering that mastery to the white light, as we go into the white light and expand and dissipate in the white light, we become the white light. And so in this realization, we realize that what the world is and what the individual is in the world, and we get a clear perspective by not being in the world and not being bound by the world and not being of the world, but being of spirit and being of the supreme consciousness of God, experiencing the individualization of God. Now as you move into the white light, you become illumined. The illumination of the pure white light is a witness state. You are illumined by the Christ consciousness, the purity and the perfection, the innocence of the child of God. You are innocent of all things. You are freed here from any separation. You are freed here from any dis-ease. You are freed here from any lack of perception or knowledge. You are pure consciousness, pure sustaining power. You are the sustaining power of the universe when you realize this illumination. When you realize the illumination, when you give up your mastery and surrender to a greater being, a master in the light. Now as we move upwards, we finally, through the grace of the Master teaching us, he instills in us the power of the Holy Spirit of God, that pure crystalline light, that uplifting breath of life that breathes us out into the awareness of all creation, interdimensional consciousness. When you have freedom, you are not bound by any plane of consciousness. You are not bound by the physical, emotional, mental, psychic, creative, individual, universal, master plane, ascendant, transcendental consciousness, a pure illumination, pure conscious awareness. You are now freed in God. You have transcended all limitations of creation. You're in that point that God is hovering over the deep. You're at that point of hovering. Now there's one more stage. Before God was identified as hovering over the deep, there was the mystery of God, the being, God being. This is the final stage of witness. It is the witness of all things. As you go up this ladder of witnessing, you find a greater and greater point of view, more expanded consciousness. So concentrate on these states of consciousness and raise yourself. Don't try to go to renunciation before you have objectivity and detachment. Don't try to go to illumination before you've walked the path. Walk the path step by step. There are quantum leaps between these levels. You're making a leap from the heart to the brow. You're making from the brow, from individuality to the whole of the cosmos. That is a great leap in consciousness. And then you are leaving it to be witness to this cosmic episode of life flowing in God's creation. You are liberated from this bondage of the world in all of its entanglements. You are realized, illumined, freed being. Freed, it looks like freedom. Freed om. Your om is free. Now let's talk a bit about food. As we are on the path, there are three areas of consciousness we should distinguish. In the ancient Sanskrit terms, these were called the gunas. And there was the sattva, there was the rajas, and there was the tamas gunas, meaning the three areas of expression. In food, there is three areas of food. There is the sattva, which is of live foods and the sweet foods and the fresh foods and the milk and the bland foods that do not cause a lot of action. The rajas is the foods that cause action, the spicy foods, those things that are hot and cause action in us, bitter foods, hot foods, pungent foods, like cayenne peppers and curry spices and sweet basil and oregano and thyme and sage. I like spices. I love to work with them. But they cause action. They are action-orientated. That's why we're to take the herbs of the field to create an action within us. It's an earthy action. It releases minerals and substance into the body that is necessary for your abilities to create a volition or a movement state where you are moving in consciousness. So rajas food is those foods that cause us to be active. Caffeine is in that area too. Too much rajas foods will cause us to get too overpowered. So all diets should be balanced between sattva and rajas, or between those bland and sweet foods and between those hot and action foods. Now the third area we're supposed to stay away from, and this is tamas. This means foods that are decaying or dying. and people that eat fruit that is going off, as we call it, or it's got the dark spots in it and that, and they eat those things, that's dead, that's dying. Meat is dying. From the moment the cow is hit on the head or shot in the head, it's dying. All red meats are tamas. All rotten grain, rotten potatoes that you drink, rotten barley and hops that you drink, those are all rotten things. All those grains have rotted, and this is dying. This is death. In fact, the alcohols drive you out of your body. They drive you away from your body. You're numbed out of the body. You don't feel the body anymore. You lose that consciousness, and you are pushed out of the body, not in a spiritual way, but you are pushed out in a out of the control way if you take too much of these things. It drives you out of the body. If you would drink a whole couple quarts of liquor, one right after another, before they hit your body, it would kill you. It would absolutely kill you. And you're slowly poisoning yourself by eating dead things, things that are dying. Once I asked a master, how do you tell which is alive and which is dead? And he says, well, if you put a pound of meat in the sun for 4 hours and you put a pound of apples in the sun for 4 hours, which one are you going to eat after 4 hours? He also told me this. If you want death, eat death. If you want life, eat life. There are foods that are living foods, and the foods move through your body at different speeds. When you are accelerating in consciousness, naturally you want the highest, purest speed that you can go. This is breath, and you are consuming breath, and that's a very high vibrational area of consciousness, because out of the air and the light, the plants synthesize and this light into its structure. And so when you're breathing the air, you're doing what the plants do. The next stage is a fast movement, is pollen. All the pollens, they move very quickly. See, they give up their consciousness quickly. That's what it means. Each one of these food groups is a storage for life force energies. You consume it, and then you excrete what is non-essential. You take the life force out, and you excrete the other structures, the earth, water, fire, and air, and ethers, and you've just taken out the life force. Then that has to go back into the ground and be mixed with the earth, and it draws more life force through the seeds and through the growth of the vegetation, the growth of the fruits upon the earth. So the air is first and the pollen is second. The third is sprouts. Sprouts move very quickly. They give up their identity very quickly within you. And you can do wonderful things with sprouts. I know a man, he had baked sprouts. He had roasted sprouts. He had ice cream made out of sprouts. He had anything you could think of, he was making out of these sprouts. And so the food would move very quickly. It's a very high vibrational energy. Now when you get down below sprouts, you come into the fruit groups, and the fruits move quickly. They give up their identity very quickly. They give up their body. It dissolves quickly in you. Just cut an apple in two and let it lay open. You see it starts giving up already. It starts releasing its life force, and you're seeing what's left. The minerals and that which is drying, the iron oxide in there, taking showing in that brownness on the apple after a period of time. But when it goes into your body, you extract that life force out very quickly. Fresh fruits and fresh sprouts and fresh air is what you're looking for. And fresh vegetables. Things that have, say you pick a fruit. Well, within 24 hours, it's lost 50% of its power. And then every day you keep it after that, it's losing more of its power. And after a week or so, you've got something. It's a lot of pulp and not much life force. It's losing its life force, you see. Once you take it from its source of nourishment, the sun and the tree and the earth, and you lay it objective to it, you take it apart from it, then it starts its decaying process. so if you, when you eat it fresh, you have power. Most of the fruits and vegetables are picked prematurely, and then they're sent out to the people. So people are eating a lot of premature fruits and vegetables. If they would let them ripen a little bit more and not eat them in the green states, they would find more nourishment, more power in them as well. Also, below this is the vegetation. All vegetable group there, they give up their life force. It takes them a little longer than the fruits. And the fruits take longer than this, and then the sprouts, and the sprouts take longer than the pollen takes longer than the air. So the air, the sprouts, the pollen, the air, pollen, sprouts, fruit, vegetables. Then you come to grains, nuts, and grains. Nuts and grains fall pretty close together. Grains impact a lot of power over a long period of time. They get lots of sun, the wheat, and that packs a lot of that nourishment, that vital force energy coming from the sun. And so grains are good for you, but they take a longer time to move through the body. Then you come to the meat groups, the fish, the fowl, and the meat. The fish moves quick through your body. Then the it takes longer for chicken to move through, and then longer for beef to move through, and longer for pork to move through. And then your wild meats take the longest to move through, because you have to give, and sometimes they rush through if you're not careful, if you're not clean them right, but they usually take, to get the nourishment out of them, it takes a longer time. So if you're wishing to move faster, you go to the higher part of this ladder of foods that you can consume as a being. And remember that there are the sweet foods, there are the pungent and sour foods, there are the hot and spicy foods, and there are those dead and dying foods. Understand, you don't want the dead and the dying. Anything that is starting to turn, smelling bad, you must get rid of it right away, because you're putting death in your body. You're putting death. I've seen people, I mean, they got to have that steak cooked so much it's like a piece of leather, and they eat that, it's dead. They're making sure this thing is going to say move again, you know, and then they put that in their body. Well, they say, oh, we got to have some carbon because we're carbon-based. Well, we get enough through the food group. We don't need to take it in that manner. It would be better for you to go out and take a bite out of the cow than it would for you to take and let that meat lay around, you see. And you can look at it this way. Anything you would pick or kill yourself, that's what you should eat. If you're not willing to go out there and kill the cow and slaughter it, and see, you're so remote from it because you see in a package, you don't realize this is a living creature. And it's upon the earth here, and we don't take and look at that. We don't see these as living creatures. We see them as, that's good. You know, we're looking at them as the end product. But we've come a long way. We didn't have cooked foods when we first started out. But then we did finally start that kind of thing. When you cook the food, the fire drives out the life force. So the closer to fresh, the less you cook the food, just warming it up, so to speak, is better than cooking it until you cook out all of the power, boiling vegetables and then throwing away all the nourishment. That's what most people do. It'd be better if you took that juice that you have left on the vegetables there and drink it. And it would be better for you than the pulp that you're taking. And so you want to take and look at what you are consuming, because you are what you eat. You are what you eat. I don't know if that looks like a banana or a carrot to me, or a string bean. I mean, I've seen some string bean-looking creatures and some banana-looking creatures, some watermelon-looking creatures, you see, some lettuce heads and those kind of things. They act like those things. You are taking the life force out, and then you, with your free will choice, do what you want to do. Now, to live on this physical dimension, you have to have food. You may go 40 days or so without food, but the body will go back to its kind. The spirit will leave, and earth will go to earth, water to water, air to air, fire to fire, ethers to ethers. Everything will return to its source. You'll return to your source if you are free and not bound in any of these things. The emotional body must have food too. What do we do with food? We take in the food. We consume it and we digest it. We take out of it the life force and then we excrete the rest. What would happen if you did not excrete the rest? You soon would be full of disease. You would be very uncomfortable, too, before you were full of disease. But you've been bound up there. It's the same way with the emotional body. You consume food of the emotions, but you must excrete those things that you do not want in there. You eat of the joy and happiness and the love of life and the thrill of experiencing the glory of being here. This is a wonderful time and experience for you. We can get our eye caught up in all that's going wrong, but have you seen the beauty of the flowers lately and heard the song of the bird? Have you walked in the woods and let your heart be open and free? How long since you danced? How long since you sang? How long since you've been free? You see, you may be having something bound up in those emotions that's not letting you go. You must excrete that, you know. Constipation is lack of concentration. That's what I was told by my teacher, and I understand that. When you're not concentrating enough, you do not release these things of the emotional body. You must release them, not be bound in them. You mustn't bind your emotions up in the negative, the dying, the tamas of emotions, the rotten emotions, the rotten things that are going on. There's a lot of terrible things. I mean, people blowing up people, planes crashing and people dying. There's been death every day. There has never been a vacation for death since man has been on the planet. Understand that. So this is a fact of life. You just accept the fact of life. You will leave someday. You should be looking forward as a friend to God and moving towards God and see death as a transition rather than as a final, that's it, man. I mean, nothing's, after that, it's it. Darkness, no consciousness, I don't exist anymore. But some people are thinking that, you know. We must go out and help them understand by having a direct connection with God where they can know and understand. So you are also consuming food within the emotional body. And you should eat the right food. There's some emotions that get very hot and spicy. And there are some that are very sweet. And there are some that are very bland. And there are some that are rotten. So you want to get rid of the rotten. And you want to keep the good things you've got. Now the next level is the mental body. In order for you to have power on the mental level, you must consume mental food. The positive thoughts, the uplifting aspects of the mind is good food. But worry and jealousy in the mind is part mental, part emotional. Any of these emotions that you have of fear, jealousy, hate, you can't forgive somebody because they went against your will, they won't listen to what you're saying, you want to defend your position, all those kind of things are death. And they are death food for the mind. And there is sweet food for the mind, poetry and beautiful speaking the truth lovingly and giving the words of encouragement and strength to others. Good food for the mind. God's prayers and the reading of the scriptures put good food in the mind. They put positive life force. These other things cancel out life force, these negatives. They bind you up. You have two-thirds to choose from. As a mystic, you should know you have two-thirds. The mind and the spirit is your dominion. Well, that two-thirds goes as well in the food groups. You have a sattva and rajas you can draw from, and you can just give up this one-third of darkness. Don't you see that one-third fell from the heavenly fields, and it's one-third of every area? Every area from the heavenly fields down that has got perverted and darkened by the demonic forces that steal and suck the life force out of it and send it back into the darkness, the void, the bottomless pit of hell, and sometimes into the suffering, and they keep them as live food, and they torment and live off the torments. Some people try to torment your mind and live off those torments. They get a great kick out of making you upset and get you to argue. You see, the love to get you, I'll get you going. Go out. All I have to do is say one thing and you're ticked off, you see. If you would consume some positive food then, some good, sweet food, see, instead of a lot of Rogers food to make you take that action, you see. Get the sweet food at that point. Start telling them of their good qualities. How can someone keep cursing you that you're blessing? As we look at this food group here, I want you to look at this chart before we go any further. And I'm going to stand up for this chart. We have a combination here. And before we get too much further, we want to understand there are acid fruits, there are sub-acid fruits, and there are sweet fruits. These sweet and sub-acid fruits go fairly well together, and the acid and sub-acid fruits go very well together, but the acid and the sweet fruits don't go very well together. They don't digest at the same speed, you see. And so we're looking at everything having continuity. If you would eat fruit along with vegetables, it would push the vegetables through faster than you could draw all the life force out, so you wouldn't be getting everything, you see. And you eating fruits before you eat your grains and those kind of things, this is, as you look at fruit here, fruit with starches is a very poor combination. What it does is it causes gas. It causes the fruit is changing and the starch is changing and they combine and they make a gas and you get this gas within your stomach. It's like eating fruit and then fruit and bread and eggs. Boy, is that a stinker. I'll tell you, that can really cause some gas and bad taste, but people do this. And then they throw some pork on top of it, you see. Pork is the dirtiest food. There is no pork in the United States that doesn't have disease in it. There is no chicken that doesn't have the salmonella in it. If you don't cook that chicken and you ate that chicken raw, you would die because it has salmonella in it. And you would get this bacteria in you and it would kill you. And so you have to cook it. You have to cook that pork, I mean, until there's nothing there. If you eat it and it's raw, you can get worms in your body. You can get disease in your body. The pig is a filthy animal. It's constantly dripping poison from itself. And so these kind of things are terrible on the path. You don't want the bondage of this heavier substance in you. So if you're seeking to move fast and have a higher area of consciousness, some food may be holding you down, maybe keeping too much blood out of the brain area, tied up in digestion, and not letting you have this higher consciousness. See, you shouldn't meditate, you shouldn't go into deeper states of consciousness just after you've eaten, because you're not going to get there. All the blood leaves the brain, what you do, you fall asleep, you see. And you go into that stage of sleep. So here's between the proteins and the acid fruits, they cause a negative condition within us. But proteins go good with vegetables, starches go good with vegetables, but vegetables and fruits do not go very well together. They have a bad reaction there because they steal the life force from the vegetables when you eat the fruit with the vegetables. So as you are consuming foods, you have sweet food and emotions, you have acid, you have protein type of emotions and mind stuff, you have this power. If you look at the principle, what we're saying here behind those words, you have the same conditions on every level. See, food is a universal power. It's a universal law, and you must consume the food. When I was studying with the kahunas in Hawaii, they said you eat part of the food and for the body, and you send up life force to the amakua, to the spirit. You send some life force up. Every time you eat, you send some life force up. And so you're not bound to the body, not bound to the lower consciousness. You're not bound to those kind of things. So you're now making a clear rapport. You should bless your food. You know, if you ever go into a restaurant, the people that cook the food put vibrations in there. If you have an upset chef, then you might have indigestion. You see, and say, I don't know why that food got me this time. But you should bless your food. Every time you eat, you should bless it free, bless it clear of other vibrations, and see it in its natural life-giving state, giving power and energy to you. You should always bless your food. Never eat it without blessing it. You don't know whose hands have been on it, what kind of beings have touched that food. They may have some mafia-orientated characters in the trucking business throwing your food around, and their minds and their energies are on there. There's crooks and bad guys all over the place, and people that are using negative vibration. These things, what you eat, you become. You take the vibratory rate out of that of life force, and you can pick up somebody else's negativity. When food is created lovingly, you know, in the ashrams and in the when we would prepare food, there would be chanting, and there'd be singing, there'd be flowers around, beautiful music playing in the background at times. Those kind of things would be going on while we were preparing the food. And then the Tibetans taught us that when you are consuming the food, they would read the scriptures so that the spiritual vibration would go on the food, and that would become part of your body, that spiritual vibration. So you could be a living, the living teachings. You could be a live master living the teaching. And so they use everything to attune to God. And the food is a most important area. We must bless the food. The United States is blessed with abundance of food, and there are nations that are starving, a lack of food. And there are other countries that are abundant, too, in food. We should see all of our brothers and sisters all over the world filled every night. Let them be nourished, dear God. Let them have the food for their bodies, for their emotions, for their mind, for their soul, for their creativity, for their individuality, for their spiritual consciousness. Let them have the manna of heaven, dear God. Let us all start concentrating on eating higher and better foods, foods that give us life. If you want life, eat life. Blessings of life. Blessings of life. Here we are gazing again. It's time to tell you about your gaze. The gaze for today is to gaze on the seven witness states from your state of being. Witness each state. Move to each level of your consciousness. Objectivity, detachment, renunciation, liberation, realization, illumination, freedom. Go to each one of these areas of consciousness and stay in that area to bring on the witness state. Ask for aid of the higher consciousness. Ask for great beings to help you. Ask for the Holy Spirit to give you the power of faith that God gives, that gift of faith that God gives in staying in a state of consciousness. See, faith means that you're assured of staying there. It's more powerful than proof because it is being. And this week we are concentrating on breathing in each one of the colors as light. We want to draw light out of each one of the colors. So as you breathe in, breathe the light from the color into you and feel it coming into part of your body, coming in and being stored within the cosmic battery in the center of the brain, the pineal gland. And so you feel this energy coming in, storing it within that pineal gland, coming over the body, breathing in light through every pore. When you're breathing out through the nose, when you're breathing in through the nose, you're breathing out through the pores. That's the respiratory system. So you're in a constant breath. And so see this constant breath of absorbing light and go through each one of the rays and breathe the light in that ray. This week we are going to be meditating upon the green ray. The green ray of power has within it the powers of poise and balance, of consecration. And we want to understand this green ray now at our heart center and at our brow. We want to have balance within the psyche on the rainbow bridge, and we want to have balance within the individuality on the solar bridge. Master Hilarion is in this area, the spirit of healing, the spirit of consecration, the spirit of concentration. The spirit of balance and poise is in this area of consciousness. St. Paul was a green ray being. So was the songs. If you read the songs, they come from green ray. They are a healing for the soul and the heart. May God's great and Holy Spirit guide you. May you live and move and have your being in the light. Continue to share. Blessings.